6 verses 9 through 11, a very familiar text of Scripture. You probably don't even need to open your Bibles because it's that familiar. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, and our Lord Jesus says this: "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Please be seated. Now, when Pastor Melton was planning to visit other churches, and I'm glad that he had that opportunity, I asked him if I might tweak the format a wee bit, and he gave me his permission. You can believe that, or else when the cat's away, the mice will play. It's multiple choice. No, actually, he gave me permission, and he printed the bulletins. We had a slight communication breakdown, and I wasn't sure whether he printed them or not, so I printed some more, and they're back there. There's one prayer request that's updated from what you all have, and I thought of some others that should be on here, so we will share them in a moment. But I asked him if it would be okay if I had the sermon before the prayer time, and if it were more like a briefer, more devotional type sermon leading up to the prayer time, and that was okay with him. Either that or when the cat's away, the mice will play. No, actually it was okay with him. And so I wanted us to think just about the first part of the first verse in that scripture reading. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, Jesus says, "Pray then like this." And when you compare that with the parallel passage in Luke 11, Jesus also teaches the Lord's Prayer. In that case, there was a slightly different setting. The disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then Jesus said, "Pray then like this," and taught them. And what I thought it would be helpful to think about is the difficulty of prayer. Sometimes I think we feel guilty. I know we do. I know I do. We feel guilty because we think, well, other people just seem to, it seems so natural and easy for them to pray, and it's not natural and easy for me to pray. It's hard for me to pray. What's wrong with me? We kind of think that way. Do any of you ever feel that way? I think we all feel that way. Oh, except Glenn. No, I think we all feel that way at times. And it's very interesting when you look at this verse where Jesus says, "Pray then like this." I mean, the very simple observation is we have to learn how to pray. We have to learn to pray. I've entitled this, "Prayer, It's Naturally Unnatural." It seems like it should be natural. Why should it be natural? Well, God created us in His own image. God created us to be like Him. God created us to have fellowship with Him. God created us so that we could learn from Him, hear His voice and learn from Him, so that we could speak to Him. And as you read the beginning of Genesis, you see how Adam and Eve would walk with God and talk with God. It's just like that hymn, "I come to the garden alone." You know, except that was, in those days, they really could do that. In our day, we really can't do that. So they would walk with God and talk with God in the cool of the day, have that perfect fellowship with God. They had nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of. They had no resistance to being with God. But that's not how it is with us. It should be natural, but prayer does not come naturally to us. What is prayer? Basically talking to God. Basically asking God, bringing our requests to God. It includes more. It includes praises. It includes confession and requests for forgiveness. But in but the word that's translated prayer is most often used to mean to ask things. In fact, it doesn't even necessarily mean to ask things of God. Until just recently in English, we would even use it to speak to one another. If we're, Glenn, I pray you this favor. That would have been normal to speak that way. I need a favor and I'm asking for some help. And we might use that word, pray. And so it means to ask God for things. And it should come naturally, but it doesn't come naturally. Why not? Well, because of the fall into sin. Because that fall has created a rift between us and God. And right away, what happened when Adam and Eve fell into sin? They immediately knew that they were naked and they were ashamed. Up till then, they had nothing to hide and they had no shame. But all of a sudden, they're very self-conscious and very ashamed. Ashamed before each other and ashamed, especially ashamed before the Lord. And so they try to cover themselves and they try to run and hide from God. And ever since, that's what comes naturally to each and every one of us. We want to hide from God. We want to stay away from God. And so if you feel that reluctance to pray, I'm sorry to say, I mean it shouldn't be, but it is true for each and every one of us, including me. It's true for all of us because we are sinners. That's why we need a Savior. And that's what Jesus is. He is our Savior. And when Jesus comes into our lives, He clears the way. He makes the way of access so that He takes away all of our guilt. Guilt means liability to punishment. We deserve to be punished for our sins. That's partly why we're scared of God. But Jesus takes away all of our guilt by paying our full penalty for us. And so we don't have to fear the wrath of God anymore. That has been completely quenched. And still, it's hard to pray because indwelling sin remains in our lives. And I think the first thing that each of us needs to do, even as born-again believers who have Jesus as our Savior, the first thing that each of us needs to do is admit that it is hard to pray, that we need Jesus to teach us to pray. In fact, it's embarrassing to admit it, but it's harder to pray for 20 minutes than to preach for 20 minutes. And I know there are much better orators than I am. And I know that there have been times when I've been preaching that I've sort of lost my train of thought. And I had to look at my notes. Where was I again? But I've never, ever forgotten that I was preaching. Never was standing up there talking and all of a sudden said, oh, wait a minute, there's a congregation out there. Oh, I'm preaching a sermon. Alas, however, I have had that experience in praying. So here I am speaking to the living God, the Creator and Savior of my soul, and I'm praying. And my thoughts wander, and all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be praying. I was thinking about this or that or the other thing. And in fact, even John Newton, the great pastor, hymn writer, the author of Amazing Grace and many other hymns, and one of Pastor Melton's favorite teachers from the past, said that he's had the experience of seeking to pray and even a fly buzzing in the room was strong enough to overwhelm him. So that just defeated by a little fly, something so fragile you could swat it and kill it just like that. And yet the fly was powerful enough to distract him. Maybe the fly wasn't powerful enough, but his flesh was weak enough that he was that easily distracted. So first of all, admit that it's hard to pray, that you need Jesus to teach you to pray. And in fact, go a bit farther, admit that it's impossible. It's impossible apart from the grace of the Lord working in you. I'm saying you, but I mean me too. It's impossible apart from the grace of the Lord working in us. I mentioned, and think about our three great enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil. So this morning I mentioned Francis Schaeffer's illustration of the two chairs. Somehow that slipped over from the, I was thinking of that for this sermon, and it slipped into the morning sermon too, but it ties in into both. But his little illustration is, this room is the universe. There are two chairs here. You can sit in one of the chairs that imagines that there's nothing here except what we see and touch and smell and taste and hear. Or you could sit in the other chair and realize there's a whole invisible reality beyond what we can see and touch and taste and smell and hear. And that as Christians, we know that the one that says, yes, there is a God and there are angels and there are supernatural realities, there are devils and there is a devil, the heaven and there's a hell. Beyond what we see and touch and taste and smell and hear, we know that there's this huge reality. It's even more real than what we are used to calling reality. But the world says, no, it isn't. And so everywhere you go, it's almost like the air that we breathe. Nope, what you see is what you get. That's it. And we know that that's not true. And yet, and here's another illustration from Francis Schaeffer. He said it's kind of like this heavy fog when the fog starts lifting in the evening and you don't even notice it at first. Maybe now you can pretend it's a summer day and you're sitting out on your patio in the evening just relaxing and enjoying the warm night, but the fog starts lifting, it gets heavier and heavier. You don't even notice it. It happens so slowly, but eventually it gets so thick that you can barely see a foot in front of your face and you wonder, how did it get that thick? And he said the influence of the world is a whole lot like that. We're just constantly surrounded by it. It's like the atmosphere that we breathe, and it just seems to get thicker and thicker and thicker, and suddenly we realize, wait a minute, I'm sitting in this chair that says there's nothing except what I see. I'm acting as if there is no God who hears my prayers, as if prayer is just an exercise. Like if I get up and do my push-ups or my sit-ups or jog or whatever you like to do, it's just another exercise like that. I do it for my health or for my self-discipline or for whatever. But the scripture says, no, that's not why you do it. You do it because the living God is your creator, your savior, your friend, your very best friend. And you can cast all your cares on him and he cares for you. And he hears your prayers and he answers your prayers. But the world continues to resist that, and the influence on the world on us and the devil is dead set against allowing you to pray. Somebody used to say that the devil feared John Knox. He trembled at John Knox on his knees more than all the armies that the Puritans could muster. Just one man on his knees praying was more dangerous to the devil than all the armies that man or his friends could have put together. And so the devil works very, very hard to keep us from praying, to distract us, anything he could throw out. Do you remember those Chick tracks? Have any of you ever seen those? They're little cartoon tracks. You never saw those? Oh, you have lived blissfully sheltered lives. Oh, some of you have seen them. It was a fellow there. He's still alive and he's still doing these things. Very zealous for evangelism. He's very Arminian. He is very Baptist. He became a cartoonist back in the 1950s, the detective genre, the kind I was not allowed to read because they were just too gritty and so on. But he became a cartoonist in those years and was converted and began doing cartoons. And some of his little cartoon tracks are better than others. But I do remember one where there was this fella in his little cartoon who was in danger of becoming a Christian, and these two demons were assigned to him to prevent that. And the fellow happens to go to church, and the pastor's preaching a gospel message, and the demons say, we can't let him hear this. And so here's this family sitting there trying to worship, and the demons are twisting the baby's toe, and the baby's crying, the parents have no idea why, and stuff like that just keeps happening, and it made me think, you know, there's a lot of truth to this one. I suspect that a lot of this sort of thing might, I mean, it might seem a tad exaggerated, but something tells me that there's a lot of truth to this one. The devil doesn't want us to hear the gospel. He doesn't want us to call out to God in prayer. And so he'll do what he can to distract us. And unfortunately, the world and the devil have an ally in our own sinful flesh. Our own sinful flesh joins this conspiracy to keep us from praying. That indwelling sin, it's allergic to God. We're allergic to God. We want to avoid God. That is, our sinful nature wants to avoid God. Remember Pastor Lou Grotenheis, my spiritual father, speaking from Romans chapter 6, where it says that the flesh is at enmity with God, but in the King James Version it says the flesh is enmity with God. And he made much of that. He said the flesh is not just at enmity with God, but the flesh is enmity with God. It's so contrary to God. It's in such stark opposition to God that it actually is enmity with God. And that's very true. And so we have to admit that it's impossible for us to pray in the flesh. And if you feel like, oh, it's hard for me to pray, I don't understand why, well, that's why. And take courage, because we're all in the same boat. But thank God we have the same Savior. And so remember that you have access to God and acceptance with God through Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 reminds us, starting with verse 14, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then finally, remember, Jesus said when he was in the upper room preparing his disciples for his departure, I'm going to go away. They didn't understand that. But it meant he was going to die and be buried and be raised again and ascend to heaven. The whole new covenant was now being inaugurated, a whole new arrangement. He was going away, and they were so alarmed. Don't go away, and if you go, can't we go with you, and why can't we go with you? And he said, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And then he starts to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll send another comforter. And the Lord Jesus returns to us by means of the Holy Spirit. And so remember that Jesus has not left you as an orphan. He didn't just give you rules. Okay, pray so many times a day and pray so many minutes each time you pray. He doesn't say anything like that. He says you have free access to God. And not only that, but you have the Holy Spirit who will stir up a spirit of prayer inside of you. And so remember that he's put his Holy Spirit in you to enable you and to assist you in praying. And don't be ashamed to say then, Lord, I don't feel like praying. I know I should and I want to, but I don't feel like it. And I can't seem to make myself feel like it. Please help me. Don't be ashamed to say that. For one thing, you're not going to surprise the Lord. He already knows. So don't think you can shock the Lord with something that he doesn't already know. He knows more about you than you know about you. But for another thing, he has invited us to ask him for anything that we need. And he says he'll give his Spirit to help. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and following, pray at all times in the Spirit, with a capital S, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, so pray for each other, and also for me, pray for the pastor, the preacher, that words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you not only call us to pray, but you teach us to pray. We confess that we need to enroll in your school of prayer. Maybe we even need to go back to kindergarten, but we thank you that you are not upset at us, but that you love us and you meet us right where we are, and you enable us to draw near to you and to call out to you in prayer. Give us grace that we would do so, even with our halting baby steps, even with our lisping and stammering. We thank you, though, that you have put your Spirit in our hearts to make intercession with groanings that can't be uttered. We thank you that you have put your Son at your right hand to ever live to intercede for us. Give us grace that by the Spirit we might enter into his prayers, and that you might receive us for his sake, for Jesus' sake. Amen.